Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
How many of you get tired of watching the news? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the off switch on the TV. I heard somebody say the other day, Lord, please don't let my mute button go out on my TV until after the election. But it's not just that. I mean, you know, we're in a time of I don't even know what you call it. You know, in the debates and all this stuff, we hear a bunch of stuff that, man, you know.
Comedy.
Yeah, can anybody really believe that, you know, that's going to happen and all this stuff? But not even that. You guys saw the little girl, I think it was in South Carolina, that was playing in her yard, and all of a sudden she's gone. A few days later, they find her dead. And you know what, man, I try to take a pretty optimistic approach at life. I try to, right? I try to have a positive disposition about myself. But I tell you, man, sometimes you look at what's going on and you go, God, what are you doing? If anything, right? It's hard to get up every day sometimes when you see all the sin and all the brokenness that's going on in our world, right? And it makes us wonder, is this all there is? But what if I told you this morning that there is a place where everything that we see that breaks our heart will never exist again? What if I told you that there is a place where we don't have to fear death anymore? That there's a place where there's no mourning or weeping. That there's no misunderstandings. There's no pain. There's peace. There's joy. The deepest desires of our heart are met. What if I told you that there was a place where there was true compassion for one another and forgiveness for one another? How many of you want to go there? How many of you can honestly say, not only do I want to go there, but my heart yearns for that place? It's not just something I'd like to go visit one day, but God, I don't know how much longer I can be here. Right? Here's the next question. Where do we find that place? You see, the Bible tells us that the only place we can find those things is in something known as the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom right now that is being built, as Jesus said. John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And when it's finished, what? I'm going to come again. And I'm going to get you so that you'll be with me forever, so that where I am, there you may be also. But here's what I want to submit to you this morning. This kingdom of God is not something that we just have to wait for in the future. There's a part of the kingdom that His people get to have and experience right now. In the midst of the junk, in the midst of the brokenness, there's a kingdom. And a part of this kingdom that you and I can take part in freely until He comes back to get us. But there's a certain way that we attain that kingdom. We're in the second week of our series entitled Vision Check. It's where we're revisiting the vision of Pioneer Church. When God launched Pioneer Church into the world a year ago in February, we just had a dream. And is that the dream was that we would make a difference in the world for the kingdom of God. And we weren't really sure what that looked like. And still today, we're still trying to figure out a little bit of what that looks like. But God is really kind of given us a blueprint of what He wants Pioneer Church to be about. And if you weren't here last week, we talked about why do we need a vision? Why can't we just show up on Sunday and worship, sing a little bit, open the Bible, talk a little bit, and then go home? And the reason for that is because there's no clarity of purpose if we don't hear from God and get a specific path that He wants us to go in. The Bible says where there is no vision, what happens? People perish. It means they cast off restraint. They do what's right in their own eyes. And we talked about last week, I don't know about you, but my decisions don't always go the right way. I make decisions every day, and a lot of them are wrong, and they don't lead me where I want to go. But God's plan, God's vision for His church will accomplish what He wants it to, but we have to get on board with it, right? And so vision brings clarity and direction and purpose to our meeting together. So here's quiz time. And man, core people, don't let me down. What is the vision of Pioneer Church? To be kingdom people. Come on, y'all say it like you know it. If you don't know it, just mumble something. Make it sound like you know it. Kingdom people with kingdom passions, fulfilling Jesus' kingdom purpose. That's what we're breaking down. In this series is what does it mean to be a kingdom person, right? What does it mean to be kingdom people? This is the actual statement of our church, to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus's kingdom purpose, right? Now, there's some words in there that we really need to understand, and that's what we're breaking down today, is this word, the kingdom. What does it mean to be a kingdom person? Remember, we need clarity with the vision, because here's the thing. The vision can be catchy, and it's supposed to be, right? It's supposed to be something that you can remember, something that you can share with a stranger on the street or whatever. But it doesn't matter how catchy it is. It doesn't matter how cool it may sound. If we don't live it, it doesn't matter. If we don't believe it, it doesn't matter. If we don't believe that this is something that God wants us to be, then we're just kind of wasting our time and we're becoming a fad. And can I tell you something, man? There's too many fads out there in the church world. And they fizzle out. But I believe God wants us to do something that has eternal significance. That absolutely is a part of Him changing lives. So let's talk about what it means to be a kingdom person today. I do want to say this. This morning is going to deal a lot more with individuals than it does the church. Okay? I'm going to be speaking directly to you individually rather than as a church as a whole. And here's why. A vision is caught individually and is carried out corporately. Okay, a vision is caught individually but carried out corporately. What that means is it doesn't matter how many programs and procedures we put in place to fulfill the vision of Pioneer Church. If you don't believe it and you're not invested in it, it doesn't matter, right? And so today it's about where we are individually with God and where He wants us to be in the vision of Pioneer Church. So if you have your Bible, go with me first to Matthew chapter 4. If you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. We'll have it on the screen this morning and in your handout. But Matthew chapter 4 is where we're going to be. We're going to be in a lot of different passages, but we'll start there this morning. And I want us to focus first on this word kingdom. Now, when I say the word kingdom, what comes to your mind? Just throw something out there. What comes to your mind when I say the word kingdom? Britain. Yes, I was glad. I hope somebody would say that. What else? You mean tell me ain't nobody going to say Disney World? The Magic Kingdom, right? What else? What do you think of when you think of the word kingdom? A castle, yes. What else? Rich. Ooh, I like that. knights. Yeah. How many of you kind of think of fairy tale? Right? We think of going and slaying the dragon and rescuing the princess. You see, in America, most of what we know about a kingdom is limited to Disney or to a fairy tale, right? We don't live in a kingdom here in America, right? The closest thing to a kingdom would be where we broke free from Britain many years ago, right? And their tyranny. We think of kingdoms as being a tyranny, right? We like freedom. A lot of us may think that a kingdom is too restrictive, right? Because what does it mean to be a part of a kingdom? It means we have a king who has control over us, right? And that kind of rubs against our natural tendencies as human beings, doesn't it? We want to be our own God or our own authority, so to speak. And so when we hear the word kingdom, a lot of times we don't receive it the right way. But when we talk about the word kingdom, most of us refer to it as a place, right? The Queen of England rules over where? Does she rule over the United States? Where does she rule? England, right? The United Kingdom. The King of Saudi Arabia rules over where? Saudi Arabia. Usually when we talk about a kingdom, we talk about a place. A place where someone reigns. But when the Bible refers to kingdom, as we'll see this morning, it goes far beyond a place or a realm, if you will. The Bible speaks of a kingdom as something being authoritative. It's about reign. It's about rule, not a realm. And so when we get to this passage here in Matthew chapter 4, we see that the kingdom is one of the primary focuses of Jesus' ministry on earth. Okay? So here's what's happening. Jesus is baptized, and then he immediately goes into the wilderness, and he's tempted by Satan for 40 days. Remember this story? And here's what happens during those 40 days, and this is very significant to our time today. What did Satan tempt Jesus with? He tempted him three times. Who could tell me what he was tempted with? The first one was he had fasted for 40 days, and so he was what? He was hungry. So what was the first temptation that Jesus faced? Satan came to him and said what? Turn these stones into bread, right? And how did Jesus respond? The Word of God says, man does not live by bread alone, right? The second temptation was what? Satan took him up to a high peak and told him to what? Jump off. Why? Yeah, it'll be fun. You can do it. Because the Bible says, and Satan quoted scripture to Jesus this time, the Bible says, because he will command his angels and he will not let your foot strike a rock. So to speak, paraphrasing. But basically he's saying, look, test him, tempt him, because you will not experience pain if you do what I'm telling you to do. And then what was the third temptation? He took him up on a high peak again and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. I think this is so funny. Satan is taking the king of the universe and saying, look what I can give you. I can give you all the kingdoms of the earth. And at that moment, Jesus said, get behind me. Go away. You see, the only thing that Satan can tempt us with are temporal, earthly things. That's all he's got. You see, Satan cannot give you what your heart truly craves, which is what we talked about at the beginning this morning. A hope, a future that goes beyond here and now. And so Satan comes to Jesus and he tempts him with these temporal things, but Jesus immediately responded with the more eternal focus. And so after that, the Bible says that Satan left him and the angels came and ministered to him. And now it was time for Jesus to begin his ministry. And here's what his ministry was. Let me show you two passages of scripture. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, from the time of the temptation, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of what? Heaven is at hand. So now, Jesus has now withstood the temptation of Satan and the allure of earthly things. And because he lived through that temptation, he's now ready to tell everybody what's better out there. And here's what it is. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 23, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel, which is the good news of what? The kingdom. So what's the good news that Jesus has for us? It's the kingdom. The primary reason Jesus came to earth, and listen to me, most of us will say the reason Jesus came to earth was to die for our sins. That is correct. But it's not the totality of why he came. He came not just to die for our sins, but to purchase us so that we can go from being a part of the kingdom of this world to being citizens of his kingdom that will never fade away. And so when we talk about becoming part of Jesus' kingdom, we're not just talking about having our sins forgiven, as great as that is. Jesus is inviting us into something bigger and better and more eternal than right here and now. Amen? I tell you, man, I don't want to live here forever. This place ain't got nothing for us. But what he is preparing for us right now and what he is ushering in with his ministry is forever. But here's what I want us to understand about the kingdom. When Jesus preached about the kingdom, he spoke of it in two different realities. Now, I'm not going to get crazy on you here, all right? But I want you to bear with me for just a minute. There are two realities of this kingdom. Same kingdom, but two different realities. Here's what they are. He spoke of a kingdom that was coming, right? Heaven and everything we talked about just a second ago. But then he says the kingdom is at hand. So there are two realities of the kingdom that we're going to talk about today. The kingdom that is to come and the kingdom that is already here among us. Now, be honest with me. How many of you think the kingdom of God is here? Well, I ain't seeing it if it is, right? That goes back to our definition of the kingdom. You see, kingdom is not about location or proximity. The kingdom that Jesus is king over is about a place of authority and reign. And so here's what I want you to understand, first and foremost, about this kingdom that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 4. The kingdom of God is wherever he has authority, rule, and reign. The king of Saudi Arabia, as much as he wants to be powerful, can only rule where? Saudi Arabia, right? The queen of England cannot rule us in America because she's not the queen of America. But the king of the universe has the authority to rule wherever. The kingdom is not about proximity. It's about where he has authority. So when we talk about being kingdom people, the question is, where does he have authority? Now, let's take it back for just a second to the vision of the church. The vision of Pioneer Church is for us to be kingdom people. In order for the church to be kingdom people, you have to be a kingdom person that is a part of the collective kingdom people. You see, your association with a church, listen to me, your association with a church does not give you access into God's kingdom. You don't become a citizen of heaven by associating with just other citizens of heaven. You yourself must become a part of the kingdom. Now, here's what is true for everybody in this room this morning. Right now, you are a citizen of one of two kingdoms. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says in Colossians 1, 13 and 14 that Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's sharing the gospel right here, but here's what I want to point out to you. There are two kingdoms at hand. There's a domain of darkness, and that word for domain and kingdom are the same. There is a kingdom of darkness, and there is a kingdom of the beloved Son. Peter calls it the kingdom of his marvelous light. Every one of you here this morning are a part of one of those two kingdoms. Now, I want to be very clear and make a very clear distinction about this kingdom of darkness for just a second. And if you don't hear anything else today, hear this, please. Okay? Being a part of the kingdom of darkness doesn't mean that you're being ruled by Satan. Okay? Satan has authority over the world. God has given him that for a time. But Satan is not the sole ruler and authority of the kingdom of darkness. Do you know who is? We are. The kingdom of darkness is ruled by us and our selfishness. And here's how I know that. There are so many in this world who profess faith in Jesus who are still on the throne of their own life. I believe that the Dallas Cowboys play football in Dallas. Now, ask me how I know. How do I know? How do you know, TJ? Somebody told me, and I believe it. When the TV screen comes on, it says on the bottom, Dallas, Texas. I've never set foot in Dallas' stadium. I've never watched a game there. But I believe that the Cowboys play football in Dallas. What validity is that to my claim? I took someone's word for it, right? But there's no evidential proof in my life that for that to be real, because I've never put myself in a position for that to be proven, right? Listen to me very clearly. You can say you have faith. You can say that you believe in Jesus. But even the demons do that. So what's the difference? The difference is who is on the throne of your life. The determination of whose kingdom you're a part of is determined by who is ruling your life. Man, we got too many churches full of people who want Jesus' salvation but don't want his lordship. They want him to get him out of hell, but they don't want to do what he says. They don't want to come under his authority. And can I ask you a question? And listen, this is something that is foreign in our culture today too, but we don't know what it's like to be a servant, you know, like in the New Testament days. But can a servant be a servant and tell his master no? He can, but he won't be a servant very long, right? The reality is, you and I don't have the right to tell Jesus what we will and won't do, yet claim that we are his servants. We have this disconnect in America and the church today that he can save me from my sin, but he doesn't have to have me. And it's leading people to an eternal hell. Everybody that has died believes God is real. The problem is when we don't believe it before we die. And the Bible's full of this, man. The Bible's full of people who wanted Jesus or wanted heaven, but didn't want the lordship of Jesus. Luke chapter 18. I don't have these on the screen, but listen to me. Luke chapter 18. This guy comes to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Remember this? And he says, "Well, you keep the commandments." He says, "I've done all that, right? I've done all that since I was a kid." And Jesus looks at this rich young man and he says this, "You lack one thing." Can you imagine the surprise of that rich young man who had everything? What do I lack? And here's what Jesus told him. "Go sell all you have. Give it all to the poor, and then come follow me." You know what the Bible says that young man did? He hung his head And he walked away very sad because he had a lot of stuff. You see, he wanted eternal life, but he didn't want the King of eternal life. John chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 men, 20,000 people, with a few pieces of bread and a few pieces of fish. And he's got a crowd, buddy. And they're following him wherever he'll go, right? They want to be with Jesus. And in John chapter 6, he turns around to them and he says, "You don't want me for me. You want me because of what I do for you." And then he preached one of the hardest messages in the New Testament. And the Bible says that Jesus said, "You've got to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, or you have no part of me." And you know what happened? It says that many turned away and stopped following him. As a matter of fact, it says all of his disciples turned away except for the 12. And he looked at them and he said, "Are you going to go too?" And I love Peter's response. "Lord, where are we going to go? You alone have the words to eternal life." We want heaven, but do we want the King of heaven? As long as we refuse the King of heaven, we are living in the kingdom of darkness. Jesus said in Luke 9:62 that no one who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Like, you get that? We start out strong, man. Someone tells us how great heaven is and how beautiful it is, and we want to go. And we put our hand to the plow, and then all of a sudden we realize what it looks like to follow Jesus, and we go, "Whoa, I didn't sign up for this." Ooh. It's because we don't want to be kingdom people. We want the glories of the kingdom without being his kingdom people. And hear me, I say these things with love and pleading that you don't turn it off today. We want the kingdom, but we don't want the King. Do you guys ever wonder why Jesus said in Matthew 7 that the road that leads to life is narrow and few find it? You ever wondered why he said that? I mean, Jesus, if you really want people to come to heaven, why would it be narrow? Right? Why is the road to destruction wide? Why can't the way to the kingdom be wide? And here's why. It's not because he doesn't want you to come to life. But on the road to the kingdom, there's only room for one leader. There's only room for one King. And as long as you are on the throne of your life, he can't be. And so here's the question this morning. What kingdom am I currently a part of? This is for you this morning. What kingdom are you currently a part of? Here's how you know. Here's the million-dollar question. Who has authority over your life? Who gets to tell you what to do? Is it you or is it Jesus? Those who are kingdom people are those who have surrendered their lives to the authority and control of Jesus. As clear as the Word of God puts it, this is what I say to you, what Jesus said. If any of you wants to be my follower, if you want the kingdom, you've got to give up your own way. You got to take up your cross daily and then follow me. Don't miss this warning. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. It's only when you give up your life for my sake that you'll save it. So here's my question. Who has authority over your life this morning? You know. You know. I want to do something right now. And it's out of the ordinary, so bear with me. Okay. I want everybody to bow your head and close your eyes right now. And right now, without anybody looking around, without any distractions or anything right now, I just want you to do this. Who is the authority over your life? I want you to ask yourself that this morning, very honestly. And don't try to talk yourself into what you think is the right answer. Answer that question honestly. Who is in control over my life? This morning, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you can't say with confidence that Jesus is king over your life, then the vision of Pioneer Church doesn't matter at all right now, okay? What matters most is realizing where you're going to spend eternity if you died today. Folks, if Jesus isn't Lord over your life, you are living in the kingdom of darkness. And you are separated from God in your sin. And if you die today, you will spend forever in hell. But it doesn't have to be that way. This morning, if you know that Jesus is not Lord over your life, and the Holy Spirit's convicted you of that, and He's showing you that you are part of the wrong kingdom, there's a way out. Listen to me this morning, head bowed and eyes closed. Jesus came to this earth and He died a death on the cross that was meant for you. You should have been on there. For sins that you committed. You offended and angered a holy God in your sin. And you are separated from Him because of that sin. You and I cannot get to God on our own. Your sin must be paid for. But God loved you so much that He gave Jesus for you. And He died on that cross for your sins. And 3 days after that, God raised Him from the dead and defeated everything that separates you from Him. This morning, the only thing that will keep you from Jesus is you. It's about your decision today. Do you believe that what Jesus did was for you this morning? Will you accept it? Will you believe it? Will you let it change your life this morning? And so if that's where you are this morning, here's what I want to do. Head bowed, eyes closed. As honestly as you can right now before God, if you know that you need to surrender control of your life to Him, would you just confess that to Him right now? You don't have to do it out loud. Nobody's going to embarrass you. But from your heart to God this morning, will you just confess that to Him? Lord, I have been on the throne of my life, and I'm ready to give it up to You. Will you tell Him that you believe that the cross was enough and it was for you, and that you are trusting in His finished work to forgive you and cleanse you of your sin? Tell Him that this morning. And then when you tell Him, Jesus, when I say amen in just a few minutes, it's going to be as a new person who is now allowing you to lead me as my king. So nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's looking around but me. But here's what I want to do. Man, if you need to make that decision today, will you just raise your hand and put it right back down? Yeah. I'm going to pray for us. And as I pray, just tell Jesus. Just tell Jesus that you need him. And that you're going to give your life to him this morning. Father, we come to you. And God, it doesn't really matter what's said after this moment if we can't come to the realization of where we are with you and who is on the throne of our life. God, I believe right now that you are working in the hearts of people today. So God, my prayer right now is I am crying out to you that those who have felt this pull by the Holy Spirit this morning would confess that they have ruled their lives and that they are a part of this kingdom of darkness that will one day be eternally separated from you. But today, they want to make the decision, Father, to trust you and to submit to your lordship over their life. God, I know that they're not going to have it all figured out. And they're not perfect, but God, today is a decision for them. Lord, would you just meet them where they are? Would you wrap your arms around them? God, would you make them into the new creation that you promised you would right now? God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we don't have to live this life alone and we don't have to struggle any longer. God, I just pray that you continue to lead us, Lord, to worship and to serve and to submit to our King. And in those moments when we try to jump back on the throne of our life, God, would you knock us off very graciously and remind us that you are the only King we need. Thank you for what you're doing in us today. In Christ's name, amen. You can look up. Listen, if you made a decision this morning, nobody's going to embarrass you, but here's what I want to do. We want to celebrate with you. So at the end of the service today, will you come find me? Come find somebody that looks like they know what's going on, which is a lot of people around here. And just say, you know what, I decided to follow Jesus today. Because we want to help you. Because can I tell you something? Life with Christ is hard. But life without Him is hard too, right? But the end goal of life with Christ is an eternity with Him. And you don't have to do it alone. We want to help you. So come find somebody today and tell us what you did and we'll celebrate with you and we'll help you walk this road with Jesus together. Now, I've got like 10 minutes to finish this thing out and I'm going to do it. Now, if you are a believer, which hopefully there's some new believers in here this morning, then here's what I can tell you. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Amen? You are now a citizen of His marvelous light, as Peter says it. And so that's where we get this phrase as Pioneer Church, kingdom people. We are now living for His kingdom, the kingdom of His beloved Son. You and I right now are citizens of that kingdom. But here's the question. It's a good question. How can we be citizens of that kingdom, yet we're still here? How many of you ever wondered, man, Jesus, when I get saved, why don't you just zap me on up to heaven? You ever wondered that? I mean, why do we have to stay here? What's left? Oh, a lot. You see, there's a purpose that God has for His church that's going to carry out in through eternity. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about what that kingdom purpose is. But you and I don't have to wait until heaven to truly experience what it means to be citizens of the kingdom here on earth. And so here's the question. How do we live on this earth as kingdom people? How do we face the day-to-day grind of a broken, sinful world as citizens of heaven? Because let's be real honest. Man, you can only take so much of the world before the world starts rubbing off on you, right? How do we maintain this kingdom perspective while still living in this world? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. Here's what I will say to you. Wherever Jesus is, the kingdom is. So if you want to be a kingdom person, you stay as close to Jesus as you can. And here's what I can tell you. Jesus ain't afraid of this world because he's overcome the world. And so everywhere that you need to go in this world, if you will make sure Jesus is with you, you can live as a citizen of heaven in this world, okay? But there's a theological principle that I want to throw out to you that'll help us kind of understand how to live here in the world without fully attaining what's yet to come. And here's what the principle is called. It's called the already not yet principle. You ever heard of that? Anybody ever heard of it? It's the already not yet principle. That's the two realities of the kingdom of heaven. And here's basically what it means. The already of the kingdom is that God is active and present in the lives of his followers through Jesus. And because wherever Jesus is, the kingdom is. And so you and I right now on this earth have the kingdom inside of us. Now, we don't have all the benefits of it yet, but we have the kingdom inside of us because of the Holy Spirit. The not yet is the consummation of this heavenly place that we're going to go to one day. And none of us have reached there yet. And so here's what this means, is that the kingdom is in two realities. And so let's talk about the already. The already is the kingdom. It means that it's present and active in the lives of those whose hearts are being ruled by Jesus. So tomorrow, when you get up and you go to the job that maybe you hate, you can have the kingdom there if Jesus is ruling in your heart. You see, it's not about a place. It's about a person. And so you and I can have that kingdom with us wherever we are. Let me give you a couple more passages that prove that the kingdom is not just in heaven, and we haven't got it yet, but it's here. And now Matthew 12:28, Jesus is debating with the Pharisees here. He's cast out a demon, and they say, whose authority did you have to do that? And listen to what he says. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He's saying, listen, I did this because I have authority. And if Jesus has authority, then his kingdom is right there with us. You and I are given this precious Holy Spirit that lives in our hearts. And that Holy Spirit is an extension of the kingdom of God because the power of God is with him. So the kingdom is about power over a place. You tracking with me? Can I ask you a question that was asked to me several years ago and it just rocked my world? If right now you and I could go to heaven and have everything that heaven has to offer, the streets of gold, the peace, the joy, the comfort, no more tears. If we could go to heaven right now and have all of that, but Jesus wasn't there, would you want to go to heaven? You see, a lot of us would say, yeah. Because that's what I want. I want comfort and peace and joy. But can I tell you what? Heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. And you and I have that privilege of having all that Jesus is right now. And the already. So everything that we need in Jesus, the comfort, the joy, the peace, all of that is available to us right now through his Holy Spirit. Let me give you another one. Matthew chapter 6. How many of you know the Lord's Prayer? How many of you quoted the Lord's Prayer? Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And listen to how he taught them to pray. Your kingdom, what? Come, your will be done, where? On earth, as it is in heaven. So when we're praying for the kingdom to come, we're not just saying, Lord, I can't wait till I can go be in your kingdom. Father, bring your kingdom here on earth. Well, how does he do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit living in his kingdom people. Can I tell you something that's very important? You and I are the only part of the kingdom that the world sees. It's in us. Now, Tolstoy, if you know who Tolstoy was, he said that all of us are an extension of the kingdom because we're our own gods. That's not what the Bible teaches us. We are extensions of the kingdom because of who lives in us, and his name is Jesus. And so when Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, your kingdom come on earth, he was saying, let your power be seen in us. And so when we reflect his power to the world, the kingdom is seen in us. Let me give you one more. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many of you can say you have joy today? Do you know why you have that joy? It's not because the sun's shining. It's because the kingdom is in you through Jesus. As a matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul tells us that all of us experience realities of the kingdom every day. There are 9 fruits or evidences of the Holy Spirit that should be present in all of us, right? What are they? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Every time you exhibit one of those behaviors, it's not because you did it on your own. It's because the kingdom is at work in you through the Holy Spirit. So folks, we can live as citizens of the kingdom right now in the brokenness of this world. And so here's the cool thing about it. When we get to kingdom purpose, you're going to see this. When we inject that into a broken world, things happen. Lives change. When we face this brokenness with the kingdom of God through the Spirit of God, we affect change in a broken world for the kingdom of God. And that's a high, high calling. I can't wait till I get to preach that to you. But so here's what we have. We have this beauty and the reality of the kingdom right now living in us in the already because his Spirit lives inside of us. Now, let's talk about the not yet. The not yet is the future promise of the heavenly kingdom he is preparing for us. So when most of us talk about the kingdom of God, that's what we refer to, right? Heaven. Now let's talk a little bit about what is to come in heaven. It is the place where all of his kingdom will gather and be for eternity. It's where everything will be made right. And I think we would all agree that that hadn't happened yet, right? But it's coming. It's a promise. And he will bring it to fruition. So let's talk about what happens in the not yet. John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many what? Rooms. King James Version says many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I love this. I will come again. I will come again and take you to myself that where I am, you may be also. Listen, this ain't going to last forever. There was an old man in a church that I pastored a while back, and he was getting older, and man, his body was just falling apart. But he always had joy. You know, I mean, he couldn't hardly walk. He couldn't hardly shake your hand, but he just had a joy. And we'd always tell each other this. We would talk about our pains and our aches, and I always thought it was funny because as a 30-some-year-old man, I'm talking about my aches and pains to an 80-some-year-old man. He'd just laugh at me. But you know what we'd always say? It's going to get better from here. It's going to get better from here. How many of you believe it's going to get better from here? I don't know if I'd want to get out of bed in the morning if I didn't think that. But it's not just an empty hope. It's been promised to us by our Jesus, by our King, who says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I get it done, I'm coming back for you. The reason why you're still here is because your place ain't ready. And when it gets ready, he's coming. And you're going to be there forever. Let me give you another. We can't talk about the not yet without talking about Revelation. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. This is what John saw. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Amen. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. He's making it new, folks. Let me give you one more. Because the not yet that we have to look forward to in the kingdom is not just a place, but something that we don't yet have with God that we will. Listen to this. Revelation 22, 3 through 5. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and His servants, that's us, will worship Him, and they will see His face. And His name will be written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there, and no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. Can I tell you something? This is what Moses asked for, and God said, it'll kill you. It'll kill you. You can't see me. But do you guys understand that in heaven, because of the promise of the kingdom, we'll be able to behold our God face to face. We'll be able to look into His eyes, and He'll be able to look into our eyes, and we won't die. We'll worship. And it'll be like that forever. And He will take us as His own. Oh, I can't wait for that day. It's coming. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. And so the already is what we live in today. But then we have a hope of the not yet. And the Bible says we wait for it excitedly. Our heart beats fast when we think about what's to come. And folks, when we look at this, the here and now, in light of what is to come, it can really change how you live in this world. And so that's where I want to end this morning with this. What in the world does this have to do with the vision of Pioneer Church? Here's what I believe God's calling Pioneer Church to do and to be a gathering of kingdom people whose lives belong to the King, who are living in the already, in the power of the already, with the hope of the not yet. Let me give you this. This is a vision that I have for us as kingdom people to influence this world for the gospel, with the gospel of Jesus, by the power of the already, the Spirit of God living in us, changing our lives, changing how we think, changing how we act, changing what we say, the power of the already and the hope of the not yet. So what does that look like for you? This morning, I want you to think about that. What does that look like for me to live in the power of the Spirit of God, the kingdom that's already among us, as I look forward to what's not yet? It's not just in how you proactively do things. It's how you react to things. Let me give you this, what Paul said here. That's why we never give up, though our bodies are dying. Anybody feel that way? Man, I do. I feel like my body's dying a lot. Right? Our bodies are dying, but our spirits, where the kingdom of God resides right now in us, is being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now, here, this stuff. We don't look at those things. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. Not just the not yet, but the power of the already that's living in us. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So, church, pioneers being called to live in the reality of today through the power and hope of the future kingdom and the kingdom that is living in us right now. What difference can we make in our little sphere of influence if we begin to not be victimized by the circumstances of the world like everybody else, but to begin to live victoriously as citizens of heaven? What can begin to happen in our relationships when we begin to view them in light of eternity instead of the circumstantial ups and downs right now? What can God do in your marriage if you begin to look at your marriage from a kingdom perspective instead of a problem perspective. You see, it's all about how we view the temporal in light of eternity. That is what it means to be a kingdom person. You and I can tell too many stories of defeated Christians in the world. There are Christians that we don't want to be around because if we ask them how they're doing, they're going to tell us. And we don't want to hear it. But church, God has not called His people to live that way. We win. We just saw it in the Word. We win. But we don't have to wait till that final day. We have the victory in us right now. And we don't keep it for ourselves. But we let it ooze out all over everywhere we go. The Bible says that is being the aroma of Christ. So this morning, do you smell like Jesus? Do you smell like Him? In the stinkiness of your circumstances, does the aroma of Christ permeate that darkness? So how do we do that? We abide. The secret to living as kingdom people on this earth is found in how connected we stay to our King. That's the secret. How closely related are you to your King? Jesus tells us in John 15, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine. You get it? You're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Church, the only way we're going to live victoriously as kingdom people is if we allow our King to rule us every day. So that means He gets the first part of our day. He gets our affections. He gets our attention. He gets the say-so in our life. And folks, things happen. Things change when we live that way. I cannot tell you how excited I am to be a part of a journey of a group of people who want to live this way. We can change the world for the kingdom of God this way. And the question is, do you want to? The way your heart yearns for the glories that we talked about first thing this morning, let that spur you on tomorrow and Tuesday when you're in traffic. And when you're in your office or you're in the Walmart line or your children are climbing up the wall, live in those circumstances in the light of the eternity that's waiting on you and in the power that's already in you. Let the kingdom come alive in you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And God, this morning, Lord, I know that your desire is to do exceedingly abundantly, far beyond all we could ask or imagine. And so as passionate as my heart is, and as passionate as the hearts of these folks here this morning is for your kingdom, Lord, you want it for us so much more. And so God, I pray first that you'd protect us from the enemy coming and trying to steal what you have planted in our heart this morning. Because he's going to. It may be on the way out to the car right now as we leave. It may be at the restaurant today. It may be first thing in the morning. He's going to try. God, would you remind us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And you have given us the kingdom already in our lives. And Lord, don't let us run from it. Don't let us try to climb back on the throne of that of our hearts. But God, let us surrender to you as King. And God, would you just come and transform us. And Lord, as we begin to live in the reality of the kingdom right now, as we wait in hope for the kingdom that is to come, Lord, may you use us to be a shining example to those around us. So that we will let our light shine before men and they will bring glory to you in heaven. So, Father, we've heard your word, and now all that's left is to do it. And so, Lord, would you give us the power, the desire to do those things? And God, may you receive all the glory for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.